So. Well, since we started the resurrection, and I didn't finish it, and we'll try to finish up because I didn't address the issue, the question that was at hand. So we will try to answer that question. Questions. Let's pick back up at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is where we left off. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And, you know, one of the things that I think I'll speak personally. As a believer, sometimes you forget about the blessed hope, as Paul calls it, where we toil. I think Ed said last week where we get caught up in the not the distractions of life, but you called it the
cares of this world.
It was the cares of this world, but it was I should check his notes. But here he's going to check his notes. But it was it was things that distract us. The world tells us we should do certain things or we should be preoccupied with certain things. And sometimes you do get sidetracked. But he says that we're here, that we should be looking for that blessed hope every day. It's no guarantee that we could even make it through tonight. And there's no guarantee we can make it next week or next month or next year. But we plan like that, don't we?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't think about it could be any moment. And we've made it this far. And we thank God that he tarries because it gives us, you know, it gives us time to labor with him. Mm-hmm. Right. It gives us time to even to get closer to him this side of glory. That's a privilege in itself. Mm-hmm. Is to be able to look into his word and to be able to come together and discuss it. But again, we keep in mind that any day, you know, people say, well, not today. Like, we call the shots, right? But the rapture, they call it, and this, even though that's not a scriptural word, our gathering together unto him could happen any moment. And what we should be doing now is where we look at 1 Corinthians 15 in verse 15:57. Is where we left off there, but we'll go back a little bit. He says, but thanks, 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He's not talking about working in the garden either. He's talking about what we do. The studying, the witnessing, the yielding, the withstanding the attacks. He said that labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he said, just keep going. Because this is the privilege we have on this side. But we left off first 15. Look at verse. He's writing to the Corinthians because they had the idea that the resurrection was past, or there was no resurrection. He says in verse 35, he says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? So Paul answers these objections because they didn't think there was a resurrection, first of all. And he cleared that up. He says, how say some of you there's no resurrection? If we preach that Christ was raised from the dead, how can you say there was no resurrection? And he began to show them that even nature shows us that is a resurrection. So the next question is, okay, well, and I think they look at it maybe like in a smart way. Okay, well, Paul, if there's a resurrection, then what kind of body do they have? And he goes into that. He says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. He said, this is not the body that we're going to keep. Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Right. Can you imagine? We don't want this, do we?
No.
I'm the youngest thing in here, but I don't even want this one. I don't. He says, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fishes, and another of birds. He gives us four different flesh. And if you know four, that's actually the number of creation or the world or the flesh. Right. He says there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Now, you got to keep up with Paul. He said there's a terrestrial body. Terrestrial means what?
Earthly.
And there's a celestial body. That's what?
Heavenly.
Now, just by saying that, the wheels should go round and round. Right? Because he's laying the groundwork. He's talking about the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying it's a different kind of flesh. And there's a celestial body and a terrestrial body. All right? Two different things. He says, and verse 40, there are also celestial bodies and terrestrial and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. Let's keep going. So also is the resurrection of the dead. What? He says, so also, he says, they have different flesh. They have one celestial, one terrestrial. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He says they have different what? Glories.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's he can't give Corinthians meat because they're carnal. But he's laying down some meatballs.
Some food for thought.
Some food for thought.
Can I stay on meat because they're what?
They're carnal. They're babies in Christ. They're not mature.
Okay.
He said they couldn't handle it. Like you can't handle the truth for the Corinthians. But he's really laying down some meat here but it's chopped up. He's not going into great detail.
Okay.
So he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. So he's laying this down, but what I want to do is go back for a minute and just expound a little bit on this, because this is, while we labor here, we labor, I think Paul said in Corinthians, whether absent or present, to be accepted of the Lord. That's your labor, not for salvation. But you have the opportunity right here to add to your glory, so to speak. Where he says there's one glory of the sun, of the moon, and of the stars. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when the Lord showed Peter, James, and John, when he went into the mount, and he showed them his glory?
Transfiguration.
Now, and we believe the verses, right? We believe scripture. He said that there, look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17 and Acts 9. Matthew 17 and Acts 9. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think Luke says it even a little differently. Is it Luke, Mark? Let's see. Luke 9 and 28. I think that's what I want. He says, Luke 9:28 says, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, he talked with two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease. But what we want is his glory. It was as the sun. And when this is him on earth, right? And when Paul sees him, you know what Paul says? He says his brightness was what?
Like the noonday sun.
Are you sure?
No.
Acts chapter 9.
Some kind of sun.
Acts chapter 9. Verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And that's not the passage.
I bet it's in, right. Excuse
me, Acts 26. Yeah, I believe it's 26. Yes, 26:12. Excuse me. 26:12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. What is the rest?
Above
the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journey with me. Now, the reason I said that, because he just told us, Paul did, that there's glory of the terrestrial, mm-hmm. and his glory of the celestial. Mm-hmm. The glory that Peter, James, and John saw was bright as the sun. Bright, right, right. Now, what Paul saw was who?
Bright as above the sun.
Above the sun. Now, most times, and I don't think the Lord wants us to read over his word like that. Okay. Somebody might say, well, what's the big deal, Frank? The big deal is he said it was different. So he's trying to tell you something right there. If Paul said it was above the brightness of the noonday sun, that's some glory, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when he gets to Corinth or to the Corinthians and he says there's different glories, then he does anyway have some type of reference, and so do we now because he recorded it, right?
Yes.
So I would say that because we were talking about glory. We have an opportunity as we labor for him in his stead to have him glorified in us. You know, you could say, suppose I was a personal trainer and you all are my students. Mm-hmm. So how much you got out of me would reflect what? In how you looked. So if you came in and you were weakling, no muscle definition, you can say what? Didn't do too much for him. But if you came in and you were muscular and toned, you can say, you know what? They put some work in. And it would be, you know what? It wasn't so much as you did it on your own, is what I was able to do with you.
Impart to you.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the Lord, you know what, as he's able to work in us and through us, that reflects in our glory when we get there. I know if you see me and I'm looking like a 60 watt. And over here, maybe this guy is 150 watt. Automatically, you can look and say, well, we know what happened or what didn't happen.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to bring that out because it was sitting right there. But back to Corinthians. Now, the big question is, why would the Corinthians think there was no resurrection? Because I'll give you some building blocks here. Why did Paul go around to the Galatians and he says, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel that's preached of me is not after men, neither by men. He says, I got it from what?
Resurrected Christ.
And he said, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. Why did he have to say that?
Because they didn't believe in a resurrection.
Well, I mean, why did he have to go all the time? And he says, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, why did he have to go around and say all the time, since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me? If he had to go all around and say, you know what, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle, but I am, and I am what I am by the grace of God. Why did he have to go around and validate everything that he said and did?
Because he didn't walk with him.
He didn't walk with him. He didn't have that credibility that the 12 had.
Right.
So everything Paul said was what? It was new.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a Jew, and definitely a Gentile wouldn't think of a resurrection, because in Acts, look at Acts 17. Hold your hand in Corinthians and look at Acts 17.
Because he only could have got it from the risen.
He only, that's the only way he got it, right, Ed? That's why he has to do that. And I'll show you, this is what their attitude was about the information that Paul had. Acts 17, verse 17, 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him and said, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods." Because what? Because he preached unto them Jesus and the what? And the resurrection. So they thought, you know what? This guy's, he's off. He's crazy. They had never been taught that a man could rise from the dead.
Isn't it interesting that without the resurrection, Paul had nothing?
That's why he told the Corinthians. He says, if this is true, then we're liars and we're above most men. We're miserable and we've lied on God and you're in your sins and we have no hope. And he says, but can you imagine that us, and not just mention others who've been before us, we have invested our whole life in a man who is a fictional character, according to those who say he won't get up or he didn't get up. Not just us, the whole many, millions of people have put their trust in a man who, if this is true, we're just going through the motions. But we know that he did get up.
Yes.
He got up. And, I thought you were. So we see when Paul has said he has to do that because it's new. And if they did know, the Jews, if they did know of a resurrection, like some of the Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. But the Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. And the Pharisees, they knew that there was two resurrections. They knew it was one here.
Right.
One here and another one here. So, what's this guy talking about? Right? So he has to go and he says, back to Corinthians. He says, verse, where did we leave off? 46. "Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. As is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We're going to stop there. But hold that thought and look back to chapter 15, verse 16. We're going to start there. So he's told them that he showed them, he's going to show them a mystery, that we shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Right?
Right.
Now that's us. That's the members of the body. Okay, I should have read this first, but we're going to go back here. 15:16. 15. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Right?
Right.
How many is all?
All.
All. Okay. Every. But he says, we'll all get up. We'll all get up. He says, but every man in his own order. Christ, the what?
First fruits.
Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end. We're going to stop right there. So, again, think about this. He's talking to the Corinthians. They can't check him out. Because what he's telling them about us is what?
Yeah.
And that's why he says in the next chapter, he says, behold, I show you a
mystery.
Well, what's a mystery if he just told them that we're going to all get up? He just said it right here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He says, every man in his own order. If I'm a Jew, I'm thinking about what? I'm thinking about this one,
right.
And I'm thinking about this one.
Right.
And he says, every man in his own order. First,
Christ.
Where is the Christ? First,
Christ.
First fruits.
Yeah.
Then they that are Christ at his
coming.
Then everybody. Now, the end. What's after 12?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
Well, the dispensation of
eternity,
right. So, when he's laying this down, all he can do is give them what's been said. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, he tells them that Christ, then they... you remember that passage back in Ezekiel? Maybe. He said, O son of man, he says, can these bones live?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Lord, you know. And he said, prophesy to them. Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37. Thank you. Ezekiel 37. 37 verse. Okay, 37:1. Can't go back no further than that. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are who?
The whole house of
Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have what? Open your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. He says, I'm going to breathe life into you and put you where? In your own land. Hosea says this. He says, after 2 days, he will revive us. After 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, he will, y'all remember that? He will raise us up. Look at that. Hosea. Oh, okay. You know that one, Ed? You gonna you help me out the first one. Hosea 7. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Hosea, let's see,
785.
Throw that out. Oh, I thought you said chapter 7, verse 85. Like, I knew it was bad, but I didn't know it was that bad.
Chapter 7 is Ephraim.
Okay, that's not it.
Eight is Israel reaps the whirlwind.
Chapter 9? No, that's not it.
Well, 14 is Israel's future blessing.
Okay, all right, let's try that.
That's the last
14. Chapter. Oh, you know what? Let's look at 13. 13 verse 14. He says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be here from my eyes. He's talking about raising them up. But that's not the verse either. Hosea. Oh, six. Chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, right here, he hath torn and has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. In the third day, he will what? Raise us up. Right here. And do what?
Live in his sight.
And live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his goings forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain to the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, as the early dew, it goeth away, etc. But he's showing them that, you know what? That's what he wants to do with them. The whole thing, their resurrection, that Paul was saying that first, the first fruits, right? Then they that are Christ at his coming, he comes right here after the tribulation to bring them into this kingdom.
Missing every time
God. And I'm sorry.
No, don't you be sorry.
And so when he talks about that, that's what their frame of reference is. Right? Right? Well, who gets up here? Revelation 20. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Everybody else.
Right. And all.
That's all. That would be all, Lord. That's right.
Those that are raised to eternal damnation.
That's right. This is the one you don't want to be in. Well, we won't be. But Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Right here.
That's the third day, right?
That's it right there. They lived and reigned 1,000 years, the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years. Okay. He says, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the what?
First
resurrection. So who's in the first resurrection?
The Jews.
The Jews and all those who responded to them as they preached the what?
The
message of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where are you?
That's what I
want to know. All right. Now you see why he turns around and he says, behold, I'm going to tell you a secret.
Yeah.
Tell you, verse 6.
Excuse me, Frank.
I'm sorry.
What he was doing up until then was revealing prophecy.
That's all.
And now he's going to tell them the secret, the mystery.
Right, because they know if this is new.
Right.
He is new. He's the new apostle, right?
Right?
So when you talk to people, one of the biggest things that you can ask them is this. If they know the prophecy is, who told you were going to heaven? Because prophecy doesn't talk about you going to heaven. So, if you want to reject Paul, guess what? You just rejected your way out of the mystery.
Yeah.
Because either you're going to be here, or you're going to be here. You're not going to be here. Well,
up there,
right. So, I know this is a little chewy.
This is clearing up a lot.
It's a little chewy, but... But this is what he said. He says, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they, here's a big clue, but they shall be what?
Priests of God.
Who did he promise priests to be?
Jesus.
Exodus. You shall be a kingdom of priests. Peter, we are a royal priesthood, a holy
nation.
Okay. He says, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. He told Peter, he says, we have forsaken all for you, Lord. What do we get?
Mm-hmm.
He says, verily I say unto you, you which have followed me in the regeneration, you shall sit on
12 thrones.
Doing what?
Judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
You shall sit in heavenly places with me,
no.
Judging angels.
No.
No. That's different, isn't it? That's really, really different. That's a mystery. That's a big mystery. He says, and when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and beloved and the beloved city. Where's the beloved city?
Jerusalem.
Okay. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the what? That's the second resurrection. He says,
They're resurrected to the second death.
They're all dead. And when they get the second resurrection, that's why he said, blessed are you if you're here. But how much more blessed are you if you're here, where we are? But he says, after that, they were found. If they weren't found, they were cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's where, when Paul goes back and he says, look at 1 Corinthians again, then it'll make sense where he says, Christ the first fruits, right? Mm-hmm. Then they that are Christ at his coming, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Then after that cometh
the end.
So a body, a believer, a body of Christ, he's asking, well, what about me? What about us? Mm-hmm. And he said, flip the page. He says, when it's all done, he talks about the different glories. You remember when the Lord showed up to Thomas? And he walks in. Mm-hmm. And he says, flesh and blood, they can't eat. They can't eat. Right? Mm-hmm. He can't eat. I'm not going to eat it.
Right.
But you can see he had a different body. Now, a celestial body, when he sees these angels, when people, they always see these angels and they see that, they said their raiment was what?
White
as snow. It was a glory to them. It wasn't the clothes. They didn't have tied with bleach back then. But you can see it was different. But to make that distinction, we were talking about Satan last week, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things we said about Satan is that he wanted to be like who?
The Most High.
I'm sorry. He wanted to be like the Most High God, right? And we said that the Most High God was the what?
The creator.
Not quite. He was the possessor of heaven and earth. Okay, so this plan was way back here, right? Mm-hmm. So God has to, I won't say he has to counter this plan because it was already done. Because in the back, I'm trying to not make this so chewy. In the back of, in God's plan, before the foundation of the world, he already created who? He already had who in mind?
The body.
He already had us back here. Mm-hmm. Before this.
As well as the kingdom. He already had the kingdom back here.
The plant God was back here when Satan was right here. Mm-hmm. So that's why he says that by the church, us, might be known the manifold wisdom of God. So here's Satan. He's thinking, you know what? I want this. I want this. Well, that ain't heaven.
Let me do that.
I want this. Right. And that.
Yeah. He wanted them both.
So when he talks about the resurrection, there's some terrestrial, there's some celestial. When he comes here, we know what happens to him on the earth, don't we? Mm-hmm. He's going to be bound 1,000 years. They enjoy the kingdom. And he casts them into a lake of fire. Mm-hmm. So much for that, right? Mm-hmm. He's done. But what he didn't count on is what we were talking about at the conference. What he did count on were these people right here. Because he's in the heavenly places and he has drawn some of those angels with him. But what he didn't know, look at Colossians chapter 1. This is why when Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery, Colossians 1, 1 Thessalonians 4. I get 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, okay, Colossians 1 and then 1 Thessalonians. Colossians 1. How much time? Okay, 5 minutes, Lawrence. We're going to make it. Colossians 1, start at verse 13. He says, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, that's firstborn. That's an interesting word, Jerry. That's, what is that word?
It's
protokos, where we get our word prototype. He's the first one. He's the first one from the dead. There's other guys who were raised from the dead, but they all what? They all died again. He's the one that got up to what? Not die anymore. That's why he's the firstborn in that order. Where when Christ got up, he set the tone for a new creation. A spiritual creation. That's why he says that he has whom he foreknew, those he did predestinate to be conformed
to the image of his Son.
We just like him. Philippians, he said he shall change this that it might be fashioned like unto his
glorious
body. Well, he had the kind of body that he can tell Mary, don't touch me. I got somewhere to go. And he, right there, right up. Where they said, why are you looking? He didn't have to gear up, nothing, did he? He just, first, second, third, far, far above all heavens. That's the kind of body he had. That's the kind of body we get. A celestial body at the resurrection. Right? Okay, Colossians 16. For by him were all things created that are
in
heaven and that are visible and
invisible.
Whether they be, name them off for me, whether they be
thrones,
dominions, principalities, powers,
all things.
How many is that? Four. Four being the number of creation. But this is a heavenly creation. Right?
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Am I making that up? That's why. Okay. He says, all things were created by him and for him. All what things? All these, all the heavenly positions and all the what? All of them. Created by him and for him. So, let's keep going. I'm running out of time. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the what?
Church.
The church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the what? Preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things by himself. All things unto himself, I say, whether they be things what? In heaven or in earth, all things in
him.
Reconcile means to do what?
Bring them back.
Back to where we're talking about Satan. He says, all these are what? They're mine. And the Lord didn't say, no, they're not. He said, all these are mine. And he said that I'm the prince of the power there. I'm the God of
this world.
Okay, if I'm going to take this back, I have to have some people to do what? To fill the positions. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I got these guys to judge in the what?
12 tribes of Israel.
That's my terrestrial people. Right? Mm-hmm. So I got to raise them up, don't I? I gotta equip them, don't I?
Yeah.
So I resurrect them, and I put them here.
Mm-hmm.
And the big secret was, I didn't forget about this. So I got this other people that that I resurrect as a secret. I'm gonna resurrect them right here as a secret, and I'm gonna put my lines. I'm gonna put them here. In the places where you thought you had uncontested, he says, I even got those. Look at Colossians chapter 2. I got 1 minute, Lawrence. He says, verse 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, right here,
mm-hmm.
he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? In the cross. In the cross. There's a verse that he says, you in Ezekiel we talk about, he says, you are wiser than Daniel and you know all secrets. But he didn't know that secret. That's why it was his undoing. Because when he killed the protocols, the prototype, he opened the door for a new creation of people that was going to be his undoing. And he undid himself.
Yeah.
Being wise, he was caught with guile. He's not. That's why he says that it might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So he resurrects us and equips us with a heavenly body. To do what?
He
told the Corinthians of all people, he says, you're taking each other to court. And that before unjust judge, he says, don't you know?
You're going to judge
angels.
They probably went right over their head. They probably, huh?
Yeah, when I read it too, it went over my
head. But.
Concerned about everyday earthly things that meant nothing.
They're not. Now see, this is chewy. And you don't go in and give people chewy stuff like that. But this is a chewy day. So And I know, you know, I know it's probably.
Well, this is wonderful.
PC.
Don't stop.
But don't end before you get back.
No,
I get the tape.
So, okay.
I get the tape.
That's, and we're gonna be done in a minute. But go ahead. Thank you, brother. 1 Thessalonians 4, and we're gonna stop. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
You just don't know how much light you shed on things tonight.
1 Thessalonians 4.
Did you get yours?
Yes.
No. One good thing, Jerry, is you don't even have to know all this to be a partaker. You don't have to know all that to know that, you know what, he's going to do it for you. And I'll get up there one day and I'm like, that's Jerry. He's shining bright. Jerry's a 100-watt bulb. I see him. We know it, right? 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, verse 13, he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be what?
Caught up together.
To meet them, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we see there, he's coming back for what?
For
us. This has nothing to do with us, him saying, I will revive you in and bring you into your own land. He's talking about, I'm coming back to get you, to take you where?
Heaven.
Up here. He says, there shall we ever be with the Lord. He says, comfort one another with... And I hear, you know, people say, well, how can we ever be with the Lord? And he's going to be down here reigning in Jerusalem.
Omnipresent.
But, you know, that's like, come on.
He's not limited by
that. That's right. You're like, you know, it's not like you and I. You know, even Paul said this. He says, I'm not there, but even being present in spirit, I have judged that man already. Right. If Paul could say that, what about the Lord?
Doesn't it also say somewhere in the Gospels that no man has descended from heaven except he who came from heaven, who is in heaven?
John 3:13. Yeah. Is it right? No man is... Right, the Son of Man who was from heaven, who is in heaven, and he's standing right there talking to him on earth. I was like, huh? How can you pull that one off, Lord?
What was that verse?
John 3:13.
I think that's where people get in the most trouble, is when they try to frame God's truth in our little tiny human wisdom. And
right.
We start doubting instead of
faith.
Right.
The Lord is pervasive.
Yeah.
I was going to say ubiquitous, but that's too limited. You know what? He said this in Ephesians. He says, there's one God and Father above all, through all,
and in you all.
He's everywhere in his people. That's why he could reign. He's got all things would be what?
In
his jurisdiction. Right?
Yeah.
He's controlling us, all believers, by his spirit. He's in all of us. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And if we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That is, you know what? We all partake. That's what makes, that's that oneness that we have. And I said I was going to stop, and I'm going to stop because there's...
Can you find, just off the top of your head, that verse where it's, for if they had known, if the principality...
First Corinthians chapter 2.
Where is that?
First Corinthians chapter 2.
Because I think, I mean, to me, I always...
Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 2:8. Because to me, that all ties into a lot of what you've been talking about the mystery versus the prophecy. Is if the mystery had been the prophecy, then he would have known about it all the time. And he wouldn't have played right along with the Lord's plan.
Right.
Thinking he was going to win.
Right. Right. And it, he figured, you know what, being limited, just like the Jews were limited, because they all they saw was this.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. All they saw was this.
Yeah.
They didn't want this.
No.
They want this.
Right.
So when he came in and got that, they said it can't be him.
Right.
That's what John, when John was in prison, he said,
are you sure is
he? He said,
Satan said.
He said, go back and ask him if he's the one.
Yeah.
Because this is not supposed to happen. Not like this. And he said, you go tell John Isaiah 35 is happening. And then you know, hear no more about John. And like you said it last week, when Peter, he says, Lord, this not this. We're not going to have this. And he says, get behind me. You don't even know what's going on. Yeah. I thought you stopped that. Stop that. Let's pray. You can edit that out at the end. Father, we do thank you for your word, Lord. I know that there was a lot of things said that could hinder the word tonight, but we pray that you can take these words and lift them off the pages and into our hearts, and you can be the enlightener and the illuminator of the inner man, and you can take these truths. You said your word is spirit and their life, and Lord, we believe that you are able to do that, and we pray that that would happen tonight. We just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to know your purpose and plan today. And Lord, to be a part of it, to know that we'll be resurrected and to be used by you beyond our wildest dreams. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be a part of your purpose and plan. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and made all this possible to be utilized and to be used and magnified in our lives. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That was wonderful. That just...